Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. It is Wednesday in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My name is Adam Bittner, assistant sports editor for multimedia at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, joined for my weekly chat with Seth Engel of the Daily Collegian and the Post-Gazette about Penn State football, all things Penn State football, maybe a little bit of hoop. Another somewhat busy week of news, Seth. The big story being the hiring of Tom Allen as defensive coordinator, the former Indiana coach. Penn State fans should be fairly familiar with his work. The man who presided over that infamous 2020 upset in Bloomington has put together some pretty solid units. You and I did a podcast last week saying, running down the candidates and saying who makes the most sense. I think Tom Allen was the number one guy on your list. So now that the move is all but official, what is your what's your reaction to James Franklin's hiring here?
Yeah, so the Board of Trustees Subcommittee on Compensation just met a few minutes ago. So they, you know, approved his contract without saying his name. So there should be official word, you know, any moment now from Penn State that Tom Allen will be the next defensive coordinator of Penn State, which is, you know, as we talked about last week, one of the most, I think, attractive assistant coaching jobs in the country. This is a job that, you know, the past two guys have gone on to be head coaches at the level. And Tom Allen now is maybe a guy who's had his career as a head coach. He's a little older than Pry and Diaz when they brought them in. And maybe this is a guy, if it works out, maybe he sticks around long term. But I think it's a good hire. You know, you check off that box of a guy with head coaching experience. But, you know, there are some questions about, you know, his system and competency as a pure defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about that a little bit. Do you think the familiarity with, you know, as being a former coach in the division preparing every year to face a Manny Diaz defense, do you think that there's things to be learned from that he can glean and kind of keep that train moving a little bit and build on the things that Manny Diaz, you know, the foundation he had kind of built, rather than start, you know, from scratch? Or as a former head coach, is he going to want to come in here and do it his way?
Yeah, well, you know, Tom Allen's, he's got his, you know, his Leo kind of persona thing, which is really, I think, ties into Penn State's ideology of, you know, loving each other. And I feel like that aspect is going to be able to transition pretty nicely. And the fact that he's a head coach, you know, it's a different demeanor that you're going to get from a guy who's, you know, maybe been an assistant for his whole life, rather than a guy who's, you know, he's seen what it's like, not just as any head coach, but one at the Big Ten level, you know, or in Manny Diaz's case at the ACC at the ACC level. You know, I think it'll be an easy transition. They run a similar defense. They run the 4-3. They don't have to change anything up. You know, he's a guy that I think will be able to come in and, you know, maybe re-recruit the team in a way. I don't think people are really still thinking about entering the portal after Diaz left, but, you know, to kind of bring them back and say, okay, like, I'm going to, you know, bring the same type of energy that the last guy had. And I think that's good.
You mentioned that there are some questions. What are some of the questions you have about, you know, his ability to replicate what Manny Diaz did? Because I think it's kind of essential. It's you know, Penn State's identity isn't, you know, top 30 defense, top 20 defense. It's top 10, sometimes top 5 defense. And that's, you know, that's a high expectation for any defensive coordinator that's coming in. Penn State's had good luck. So what are, you know, some of the possible downsides here in your eyes?
Yeah, well, James Franklin said on Friday that he wanted to bring someone in that, you know, he was confident would be able to come in with the number one defense in the country and not be overwhelmed by that. And I don't think Tom Allen will be overwhelmed, but never in his life has he had a defense even remotely in the same category. Like with Andy Kotelnicki, you kind of look at the stats and what he was able to do with Kansas, and they were, you know, in the upper echelon and in a ton of categories, doing so at a program with, you know, limited resources. With Tom Allen, you know, this is a guy who has experience leading a defense. He was defensive coordinator at Indiana in 2016, and then took control of the defense while being head coach in 2017, 2018. Took a break for a couple of years and then came back for the past three seasons. But that defense has really, you know, sunk the past 3 years. Statistically, you know, one of the worst in the country this past season, and Indiana, you know, last in the Big Ten this year as well. So there are question marks and whether he's able to, you know, kind of make it work and make it happen, you know, without a head coaching title.
Seth, do you have any fear that, you know, Penn State has two coordinator openings this year, ends up going out and hiring two guys from outside of the program, passing over, you know, I think promising, you know, assistant coaches, position coaches, and Anthony Poindexter and Juwan Sider, I think, are the two that I look at as, you know, guys that could maybe be coordinators elsewhere, maybe think that they've earned their shot here in Happy Valley. Do you worry about, at all about Penn State getting a reputation as kind of a dead end if you are one of those promising position coaches who recruits well, you know, turns out solid NFL caliber players every year? Or do you think that you know, this just goes with the territory of being Penn State, when you can pick a lot of different guys and you can get the top coaching talent in the country to come here, that this is just somewhat the nature of the beast?
Yeah, Juwan Sider was asked about that, you know, a couple days ago, you know, and he's talked about it before too, where, you know, the head coaching hopes are always there. Like, that's where you want to go when you're a longtime assistant. But, you know, at the same time, like, you're not always going to want to jump ship, because maybe the best job for you that's going to lead you to where you want to go is with Penn State, and just kind of wait it out. And, you know, Poindexter has had head coaching opportunities before. We saw there was some interest, you know, with Virginia a couple of years ago, and maybe even James Madison this past year. But, you know, when it comes down to it, that's kind of just the way it goes. You know, the coaching carousel is always gonna go. I think, you know, there are two edges to the sword where, yeah, it sucks that, you know, coaches could leave and get a new job, but at the same time, it looks good for Penn State when assistant coaches are consistently getting head coaching jobs. Like, that makes it way easier to bring in a new guy when they know that, you know, more likely than not, they're going to have a job at the end of it.
Seth, I want to talk a little bit about the offensive side of the ball as well. I know you did a story on Andy Kotelnicki, the new offensive coordinator, some guys who played with him. You know, what did you learn from doing that story, first of all, and then we can get into some of the comments he made during his introduction at Penn State?
Yeah, that was interesting. So I talked to, you know, two NFL players, Jarrett Patterson and Tyree Jackson, who, you know, kind of starred at Buffalo. You know, Penn State fans might know their names just from, you know, that Buffalo series a few years ago. But yeah, I mean, basically the message was that this is a high energy guy who loves explosive offenses. And he's basically just going to get the ball in their playmakers' hands. And he's also not afraid to switch it up. You know, he's not afraid to switch up that scheme at all, depending on what the defensive system is that they're, you know, facing the next week. And it was really interesting to kind of hear that. And then also, you know, get Kotelnicki for that press conference, finally hear his voice and see his face. You know, that is a high energy individual, you know, funny guy. It was kind of interesting to hear him compare his offense to a Dairy Queen blizzard. So, you know, we'll kind of see what comes from that. But, you know, first impression is good.
Yeah. Take me inside that press conference a little bit more. You know, what kind of stood out to you about, other than, you know, the personality and the energy, when you were listening to him speak and look forward toward, you know, what he can do in 2024 and beyond?
Yeah, I think that the sky's kind of the limit. You know, I think the most important thing when you're talking about Kotelnicki is the fact that he has not had the base that Penn State has. You know, he's never had the talent that Penn State has. He's been at Buffalo, he's been at Wisconsin Whitewater, and he's been at Kansas. And he's made it work everywhere he's been. Now that he's able to work with these, you know, five-star recruits, like he has a five-star quarterback and running back right now, these highly touted players, you know, it's kind of scary maybe what he's able to do in that system with those pieces. So that's something I'm really looking for is, you know, now that, you know, he knows that the system works, you know, how is it going to work now that he actually has, you know, some of the best players in the country?
Yeah, I think that's going to be interesting to watch. I think it's also going to be interesting to watch him deal with the receiver situation because I think that's the most pressing need. You know, I think that's a place that Mike Yurcich ultimately, for lack of a better term, failed. I mean, his receiver room is worse than when he found it. And, you know, I'll be interested to see how Indy Kotelnicki can address that situation. We're going to talk a little bit more about the receivers here in a minute when we get into the recruiting bit of the conversation. First, though, Seth, I wanted to ask you about Olu Fashanu. I know you guys got a chance to talk to him. He has not declared for the NFL draft yet. I think I've seen him as high as 3-4 on some draft boards. I don't think there's a lot higher for his stock to climb, and yet he still does not seem to have made a decision. What's your read on that? Is he gone? Is he just kind of maybe waiting till after the Peach Bowl, or do you think there's a legitimate chance he might shock everyone again and come back for 2024?
No, I think that, you know, Olu's as good as gone. You know, it was a surprise last year when he announced his return for another year because, you know, if you remember, he was projected first rounder last year. And that was coming off an injury. So you knew that he was in store for a big year. You know, he was phenomenal this past year. You know, he basically did everything he wanted to do, projected top 10 pick now. Yeah, I just think that, you know, it would be in his best interest to pack it up. He's graduated, got his degree, you know, consensus All-American. There's not much more that I think he can even accomplish. But he will be traveling to the Peach Bowl. He did say that, so he'll be making the trip. But, you know, I would not expect to see him play, and I also would not expect to see him back in 2024.
Yeah, just an interesting situation because, you know, Penn State has had some guys declare, opt out, or some in some cases – was it Theo Johnson that declared but is going to play in the Peach Bowl?
Yeah, he'll be participating.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Was there anyone on the you know, NFL draft front that you're surprised we haven't heard from yet? I think Tyler Warren's probably close to the top of my list. But are there any other guys on your radar that you're looking at and wondering what the decision might be?
Yeah, we haven't heard from Kalen King yet. Last we heard from him, I asked him, you know, after the Michigan State game, if he had made his mind up. Hadn't, but that's a guy you've kind of seen, you know, sometimes listed in the first round of mock drafts, maybe second, third round now, after a kind of bumpy 2023. But I would expect to see him declare as well. You know, there's always a possibility, but the fact that, you know, at the open practice, you know, last weekend, that he wasn't seen. Neither was who else wasn't? It was Kalen and Johnny Dixon wasn't there as well. That's kind of telling of, you know, maybe where they're focusing in the future.
Do you think we see either one of them in the Peach Bowl?
I would be surprised if you do. You know, it's been reported that Johnny Dixon's opting out. You know, we're still waiting on a word from him. Make it official. Kalen, haven't heard anything from. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But, you know, Ole Miss is looking pretty stacked and ready to go for the bowl game.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to break that game down. I think, you know, when we get into next week, we'll be right there a few days away from the game. Looking forward to talking to you more about that next week. Right now, I want to talk about the signing day. Early signing day is this week. Penn State can start, you know, kind of dotting the T's, crossing the I's on – I think I mixed that up there, Seth. I think but you guys know what I mean. Kind of finalizing this year's recruiting class. They're ranked number 17, I checked, on Rivals right before we started the show. That always fluctuates, so don't quote me. But going into the show, they were at number 17. What's your read on this recruiting class, Seth? And are there a couple guys that might join that could maybe change the tenor for you between now and signing day or on signing?
Yeah, I just think that, you know, there aren't expected to be many surprises, as, it typically goes with Penn State under James Franklin. You know, they have their guys. It'll be another big class, and it's, you know, set to be the third consecutive top 15 class, which is, you know, a great success, especially in an era with, you know, mass competition across the board. Sometimes we don't even know how that all works with NIL and how these negotiations go. And we know programs are handling things differently. But Penn State has really stuck to the same model under James Franklin. And he called it an under promise over deliver program. He's not going to promise you, you know, a starting spot. You're going to have to come in and work your butt off and make the most of your role. So that's been the same thing, you know, in 2014, it's the same thing in 2024. And it's working, you know, so, you know, interested to see what kind of goes on there. And it's also interesting the fact that none of these guys decommitted, even with two coaching changes. You know, they stayed strong, and they're still set to welcome, you know, every commit.
Wanted to ask about the lack of an impact receiver in this group. They've got a couple, you know, three-star guys in there, at least according to Rivals. I don't know. They might be four-star somewhere else. But regardless, if they're four-stars, they're borderline four-stars. What is your view on where Penn State is at receiver? Because I think it's a concern for me, Seth, that, you know, it doesn't look like you're bringing in impact guys here. Maybe, you know, Peter Gonzalez develops into a pretty solid guy in this offense. Maybe, you know, you have you hit like you did on a Deion Butler type of situation. And, you know, that we see it all the time in college football. The star rankings don't purely determine whether a guy's going to be useful. So I don't want to presuppose anything about some of these guys coming in, but they're also not, there's no Marvin Harrison Jr. that you're looking at and saying that guy is going to be catching a ton of passes immediately and making the difference that this offense needs at that position going into this, you know, this following year. Is that a concern for you that they don't seem to be bringing in the guys that they can develop into that, and that they're going to have to go hunting for these guys in the portal for maybe another year, next year, even if things go well in the portal this year? If you guys have guys graduate, you might have to go back. To me, that's a big red flag for this program right now, as it's looking to, you know, compete with the Oregons, the USCs, the Ohio States, and the Michigans of the world.
Yeah, I mean, recruiting, especially a wide receiver, has been a bit of an issue, and we've seen that, you know, over the past couple of years. And I think that comes down to, you know, this instability at the wide receiver coaching position, and now the instability, you know, at offensive coordinator. Kids want to know who's going to be coaching them. You know what I mean? And last year, it was a little late, you know, bringing in Hagans in the offseason, you know, a bit of a surprise. And, you know, Penn State really wasn't able to capitalize on any of these four-star receivers. That being said, you know, I think they're searching for some diamonds in the rough right now. And I think there are potentially some guys there. You know, Tasir Denmark is a guy who they were able to flip from Oregon. You know, he has a number of skills, and, you know, he stood out to James and the staff. And Peter Gonzalez from you know, Pittsburgh backyard, you know, from Central Catholic, big receiver, big, lengthy, athletic, quick. I spoke to him yesterday, and he's, you know, an extraordinary young man. You know, I think he has some traits that, you know, could potentially capitalize very early, because he's not built like your typical freshman wide receiver. And then Josiah Brown is the third receiver there, to kind of round up the group. You know, he has skills and traits as well. I think it's just a matter of them coming in and, you know, as it was repeated all year, separating yourself from the pack. That's what they've lacked, and I think that's what they have to prove early on.
Do you think we see any of them this coming season, Seth? Or do you think they can get on the field? You know, just given that Penn State did not seem to have a ton of guys that have really staked to those jobs down for next year.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say because it's so early. But having watched film, I mean, there's always a chance. And we'll kind of see what happens with the transfer portal too. Like you said, to be able to bring in a couple playmakers. You know, James Franklin's likely hoping that those playmakers maybe provide a little more than, you know, what Dante Cephas and Malik McClain did this past year. But that is somewhere where you have to look, and it will increase, you know, that competitiveness. But, you know, the freshmen are going to try to bring their own as well, and also boost the competitiveness on the field.
Seth, last football question I want to ask. Were you surprised Kyle McCord went to Syracuse, that that was his choice to leave Ohio State for that program? You know, I can't think of a lot of, you know, allegories for him in college, modern college football, kind of going from having the starting job at a, you know, a top five program to saying, I'm going to go to Syracuse. What did you think of that move and how it settled out, and the rumors that, you know, maybe he might be going to Nebraska, you know, not coming true?
Yeah, I mean, I think Syracuse is onto something. I think that Fran Brown, if you really know football, this was a guy, you know, on my radar a few years ago, you know, to potentially think, okay, maybe this is a guy who could replace Brent Pry, just based on his recruiting ties, especially in the Northeast, and to bring in Elijah Robinson, who, you know, a Penn State alum. He was Texas A&M's interim head coach this past year, and, you know, also their defensive line coach for a number of years. You know, it's recruiting central over there. I you know, I don't think anyone's really surprised that they're finding success recruiting in New Jersey and New York, and now being able to bring in, you know, one of Philly's finest and Kyle McCord to kind of lead that first year offense. I don't think it's surprising at all. What I'm interested to see is how it all plays out on the field, given the fact that Fran Brown, you know, was only, you know, a position coach at Georgia, and Elijah Robinson, you know, only a position coach before he became the interim HC at Texas A&M, like how that works out now that they're actually going to be doing some play calling and coordinating. But, you know, I think the sky's the limit for what Syracuse is able to do. And I'm excited to see what Fran Brown does there.
Something to watch, because Syracuse is on some of these future Penn State schedules. This might, you know, might be end up. I don't think Kyle McCord necessarily going to still be there when that series is being played. But, you know, can Syracuse build a little bit of momentum and be an interesting opponent by the time Penn State plays them, you know, in the coming years here? Seth, I want to switch gears briefly here to basketball. Penn State falls at Georgia Tech at Madison Square Garden over the weekend on a phantom foul call. Nevertheless, that game was played in the 80s. I still have a lot of questions about this team defensively. You know, I think they showed a little life in the last week, the way they played Georgia Tech and beating Ohio State. But there still seem to be some pretty deep flaws here to be in position to kind of get hosed like that, like they did.
Yeah, that was pretty brutal. You know, this has been a relatively rocky first year under Mike Rhodes. You know, you had the five straight losses, and then to be able to beat Ohio State late, I think that was big for momentum. And they came into MSG, you know, against another high major program, and stormed back. You know, they stuck around for you know, a while there, and should have won. You know, that was it was a disappointing finish to kind of see a game dictated more or less by that was not. I mean, it just wasn't a foul. He didn't touch him. Like, it was, and it looked like the ref, you know, wasn't really looking at the play either, you know, which is, you know, it's disappointing for them and for any team to really have to go through that, especially one that's really trying to figure it out and make something out of nothing. So that was kind of my takeaway from that.
What do you think the identity is that you're starting to see from this program and how it wants to win? Maybe it's not quite there in terms of how it can win, but, you know, what do you think Mike Rhodes wants to do with this team? And especially as we look toward conference play beginning in earnest here.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's hard to say, you know, it's hard to say exactly what you want from a first year group. I think he just wants them to stick together and learn how to play together. That's really all you can hope for in your first year. You know, I think it would be foolish to kind of think that they were going to find immediate success with, you know, 10 new guys on the roster and a new coaching staff. But, you know, as you get into the later months, as you get into January and February, you know, whether these guys are able to actually come together and do some good in the Big Ten, and in conference play, you know, that'll be big. You know, that's what I think Micah Shrewsbury's 2021 team was able to do late in the year, you know, had some success in the, Big Ten tournament and, you know, came close to Purdue at one point as well. For that to kind of happen late in the year, you know, I think that was big moving forward to 2022 and, you know, ultimately to make the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I think that's a big ask this year. I think you want to see, you know, what I think you don't want to see is them kind of careening out of control, right? And having like a 3-win Big Ten campaign. You know, if you can win 6, 7, maybe 8 games and with the expanded conference schedule, you know, you get a lot more opportunities to do that than maybe you did 5, 10 years ago. I think that could be a solid foundation to build on. The postseason, you know, even like the NIT seems like a little bit of a bleak outlook to me at this point, but I think it's going to be, hopefully this is a fun team to watch, right? That we at least have some things to talk about, you know, going into these winter months after football is officially buried for the year. Seth, any final thoughts before we, you know, begin the Peach Bowl week in earnest here next week?
Not really. I mean, Tom Allen became official while we were in the middle of the call. So he is now the defensive coordinator at Penn State, you know, taking over what was, you know, maybe the most dominant defense in the country this past year. So that'll be interesting to see. You know, not sure when we'll get our first intro presser with him, but probably pretty soon. I would expect to see him at the Peach Bowl, not calling plays, but, you know, on the sidelines, kind of similar to what Manny did at the Outback Bowl a couple of years ago.
When you heading down to Atlanta, Seth?
I will be down there the day after Christmas, so the 26th. And I'm looking forward to it. You know, it should be fun. Never been to Atlanta, but, you know, I've heard good things. And the Peach Bowl people seem great, so it should be good.
Yeah, I've worked with some of the Peach Bowl. I believe the executive director is from Pittsburgh.
Really?
Yeah, it's an interesting – he's done a lot of work to kind of build that game up and kind of gain New Year's Six status when the playoffs started. Because right. I'm not sure the Peach Bowl was regarded – used to be regarded in the same way as the Rose Bowl and the Fiesta Bowl and the Sugar Bowl. But they've done such great work with that game down there to you know, be recognized now on that level as New Year's Six. They're still going to be involved in the playoff moving forward. So I think it's going to be a good first trip for Penn State to Atlanta. So, Seth, thanks for talking to me today. We will be back next week with a lot more Peach Bowl conversation, really digging into this matchup, who's playing, who's not, all of that. And if there's anything that comes up in the next week with recruiting, we'll tackle all that too. So, please make sure you're subscribed to the channel. Please like this video if you enjoyed it. Help us out in the YouTube algorithm. And please stay tuned for later in the week. We're going to have a lot more Steelers talk. Christopher Carter on the North Shore Drive is happening today, Wednesday, when this video debuts. I'll be back on Thursday with Paul Zeiss talking Steelers and a whole bunch of different topics. So make sure you're signed up, and we will talk to you all again real soon.
Thanks, Adam.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.